Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today on this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And we have Bishop Paul Bradley with us here today. Bishop, welcome.
Well, good morning, Deacon Louis. It's good to be with you and good to be with all of the listeners this morning.
And, of course, we try to have the bishop on as often as possible, try to do it at least once a month, but sometimes summer and schedules and things like that. So we're glad you're with us here today on this beautiful day. And the weather's been good lately. It's cooled off a little bit. But it's a good time to go to Mass, you know, and start thinking about going to Mass. If you haven't been to Mass in a while, you know, this is an outreach of the Catholic Church. Bishop will preach about some of the scripture readings today. But this is just one piece of the Mass. You know, if you're Catholic, you know that this is Liturgy of the Word, and then at the second half of the Mass is Liturgy of the Eucharist. But we invite believers, non-believers, anyone who is searching for that spirituality, searching for God, searching for meaning in your life. You can attend a Catholic Mass. There's Catholic churches all over the diocese, some 59, correct?
59
parishes throughout southwestern Michigan. You're welcome to go to those services, and you can do everything, just kind of mimic everything that the people around you are doing, kneeling, sitting down, standing up, saying prayers, singing hymns. The only thing you can't do is receive Holy Communion. And the reason for that is we believe that is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And it makes us, and we come into communion with the church, which means we believe everything the church teaches. Not that you can't go up for a blessing. You can go up for a blessing. We ask that you cross your hands over your chest, your hands and your arms over your chest. But please, you're welcome to come. And of course, RCI starts pretty soon too, right, Bishop?
They should be starting up for the fall in most of the parishes, yes, with the RCIA program, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's an opportunity, inquiry classes, so that people can come to a greater understanding and consider whether they want to enter into the church or not.
Absolutely, and I love that word that you use, Bishop, consider, because you can go to those classes, go for the whole 4, 5, 6 months of those classes, and then the springtime, Easter time, you decide, I'm not ready to go into the church, or this isn't for me. It's okay. We understand. Doesn't happen very often. Most people come into the church, and it's a very beautiful experience for them. So we're going to go right into the scripture readings for this week. If you're interested in anything about the Diocese of Kalamazoo, you can go to the diocese website, which is diokzoo.org. We also have holyfamilyradio.net, which archives all of our radio programs from the past, and of course there's Catholic radio throughout southwestern Michigan. We ask you to go to the holyfamilyradio.net and look at all the stations that are locally. So we're going to read the readings today. Bishop and I are going to alternate on the readings, and of course the bishop is going to read the gospel at the end, and then he'll give us some thoughts, and we'll talk about some of the things that are, if we have time, talk about some of the things that are going on in the diocese as well. So our first reading is from the book of Genesis, Genesis 18, 20 through 32. In those days the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, that I must go down to see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out. While Abraham's visitors walked farther toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out that place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham spoke again. See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there were 5 less than 50 innocent people? Would you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. But Abraham persisted, saying, What if only 40 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, Let not the Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it if I find but 30 there. Still Abraham went on, Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there be no more than 20? The Lord answered, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, Please let not my Lord grow angry if I speak this last time. What if there are at least 10 there? He replied, For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm for today is taken from Psalm 138. And the response is, Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
The Lord is exalted, yet the lowly he sees, and the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk amid distress, you preserve me. Against the anger of my enemies, you raise your hand.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands.
Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. And our second reading today is from Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, 12 through 14. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And the reading from today's Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're meeting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of Kalamazoo. Bishop, welcome.
Thanks again, Deacon Louie. It's good to be here.
Some wonderful scripture readings for us to go off of.
Well, they are. I mean, here we are at the last weekend in July. It's hard to believe that summer is quickly going away. It seemed like it took quite a while to get here, and then over these last few weeks we've had some strong heat.
Yes.
Now, as you mentioned, just some more pleasant temperatures, but it's summertime.
Yes.
And so we truly enjoy these various ways that we see the beauty of God here in Michigan as
yes.
the seasons come and go. And vacation time hopefully is providing all of us, all of our listeners as well, some additional time for rest mm-hmm. and relaxation. And so I pray that that's the case for everybody. But as you mentioned at the beginning of the Mass, we don't take a vacation from our faith.
Hopefully
and,
not.
the practice of our faith continues to be something that enriches us. Mm-hmm. Vacation time and work time, morning, noon, and night, summer, winter, fall, and spring. So we're glad to be able to reflect on God's Word today, which, as you indicate, is very, very powerful. You know, I think if we look at each one of them, beginning with that reading from the book of Genesis, even for people who may not be familiar with God's Word, even if Scripture is not something that some people may find I don't understand. Hmm. I think most people have heard about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
You know, whether we're practicing faith-filled people or maybe even not, but we kind of know what that image of Sodom and Gomorrah
yes.
is all about. And clearly, there were two places in the very early days of God's revealed word where people just lived a life of debauchery and mm-hmm. immorality, and certainly not in any way practicing the ways of God. And so we see this interesting conversation. I guess we could call it a negotiation.
Yes.
Between Abraham and God.
Mm-hmm.
But the very first that I think is very interesting is that at the very beginning, the first verses of that reading that you read for us, the cries, God heard the cries
yes.
of protest or the cries of debauchery or whatever. He was aware of that from his vantage point in heaven. And he says so beautifully, I mean to go down there
yeah.
and see for myself, to see if these cries mm-hmm. fully correspond to the actions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very important thing. And of course, for us who are Christian, we realize that at some point God not just came down in this symbolic way, as we hear in the reading that we heard today, But God really comes down to earth to yes. see for himself in Jesus when through the incarnation. And in that process that Jesus begins to bring about that great act of redemption for all the world. So, but still in this symbolic way, God comes to concur, to make sure that nothing is going to happen that isn't factual.
Yes.
And so Abraham begins this negotiation, and it's a little humorous even yes. to say, you know, well, what if you find 50? Well, how about 45? Well, maybe 40. Yeah. And we get all the way down to 10, and he could have probably gone down 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4 as well.
Correct.
And there wouldn't have been, the point was, there was no one yes. there that was not kind of filled with this sense of absolute sinfulness. And so we know that those two cities were in fact destroyed. Mm-hmm. We hear in that reading, though, Abraham's visitors that we made reference to. The visitors were walking along. And part of the reason why the cries came up to God, of course, is because those visitors who were messengers of God, the ones who had delivered to Abraham, as we heard last Sunday in
That's
the
right.
first reading, the fact that to whom Abraham showed such great hospitality, mm-hmm. and then they promised that that he and his wife Sarah, aged as they were, would eventually have a child, which of course they did in Isaac. But those visitors were trying to find hospitality in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the people that they tried to have show them hospitality were the very ones that were going to make sexual advances against these people. You
right.
know, so
mm-hmm.
even to the messengers of God, and that's, I think that was the, in a sense, the breaking point.
Yes.
So we see God's constant willingness to forgive. However, if people absolutely refuse God's forgiveness,
right.
if they refuse the opportunities that God gives to us over and over and over again mm-hmm. to turn away from our sins, we're going to reap the destruction that might
yes.
follow. Maybe it's not in the way that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed,
right.
but our own destruction is certainly
correct
at hand. So I think that's an important beginning point for this
Absolutely.
Sunday's readings.
And I think it happens every day. And I think in some ways this, it's kind of good for us to hear this, because we have this problem in our cities. There is sin that is going on, some atrocious sins, you know, that are happening. But it's also the prayers are still happening too. And there are still beautiful churches, you know. Even, you know, Las Vegas is, you know, noted themselves as Sin City, you know, but there are still beautiful churches there. There are beautiful Catholic churches there, people who believe, people who pray, people who call out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing is, also in this, is Abraham's conversation. Of course, mm-hmm. we're going to get to that as we go further through the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
is this prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? And this,
mm-hmm.
and it is kind of funny, because he's kind of like, well, he wants to see if God knows math,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, if I take 5 away from 50, how many is that? And God says, well, mm-hmm. it's 45, yes.
Well, it's also, as a businessman, Deacon Louie, I'm sure that you're very tuned into, you know, negotiations and trying to make deals that are good for everybody and
sure.
just and all that. So Abraham, here he is, he's trying to make a deal.
Right.
But God's the one holding the cards.
Yes.
He already knows.
Yes.
I mean, you can keep going. That's fine. You know, and yes, I'm willing.
Yes.
But I already know the outcome.
Amen.
You know, because
yes.
there are no good people left in that particular terrible place. So.
And well, we just have about 10 minutes left, but it's only almost like Abraham's almost irritating, you know, by asking over and over again.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we move on to some of these other scriptures.
Well, yeah,
if you don't mind, I
just want to jump right to the gospel.
Go for it.
I think we'll come back.
Absolutely.
Of course, to Paul's beautiful reading to the Colossians, sure. which I think is so very significant. But the gospel is, we could almost separate them into two gospels. The first two gospel readings in a sense, because God or Jesus is at prayer. And I think that's the beautiful thing. The beginning of that passage says Jesus was praying in a certain place. The apostles were maybe not. They were just maybe along for the journey.
Right.
But Jesus took the time to stop and pray. So the apostles are, the disciples are observing that, and they say to him, when he's done praying, could you please teach us to pray? Now, obviously, these were good and holy men already. They were practicing Jews for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they knew about prayer, but they were seeing something very different in Jesus. Mm. They were seeing the great depth of his prayer, the intimacy with his Father, and the regularity, maybe even more than the Jewish calls to prayer, which were regular but formalized. And here's Jesus praying in a way that they were observing, there was having a very different effect. Mm. So they said, could you please teach us to pray? And that's when, of course, this is Luke's version of what the prayer that we know so well is the Our Father.
Mm-hmm.
It's different slightly than the one that we hear recorded in Matthew. But the elements are all the same.
Yes.
And one of the most revolutionary parts is the very first word that he teaches them. When you pray, say, Father.
Yes.
Matthew makes sure that he includes Our Father.
Yes.
And that whole dimension that Matthew includes of how, you know, we approach God, even if we're praying individually, it's always because we're part of this great people of God.
Yes.
And so it's the it's that dimension. But the radical thing is for Jesus to say, when you call God, the God of all the universe, the God that Abraham was negotiating with in the Old Testament in the first reading today, mm-hmm. call him Father.
Yeah.
And as I call him Father, well, I mean, that would blow the apostles' mind,
yes.
certainly for sure, because that truly was radical.
Yeah.
So we pray the Our Father as though it's second nature to us. I think we have to stop and realize who we're addressing and how we're able to address him as our loving Father. And then, of course, the rest of the prayer that we know off by heart, but it's powerful.
Yes.
It's powerful. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Don't give me everything that I'm going to need for a lifetime,
right.
because I know I depend on you every day. So please, each day, give us that daily bread, as God provided for the people of Israel in the desert, the manna each and every day, just enough for the day to help them to survive in their journey through the desert. That's what we pray for, the spiritual blessings that we know we need each and every day. Forgive us our sins. And then another zinger, as we ourselves forgive those who hurt us. And so it's a powerful prayer. And again, I think because we pray it so regularly, it may lose the significance. And we need to pray that prayer with great attention and really reminding ourselves what those words are saying. We can't pray, forgive me for my sins, if I refuse to forgive someone else.
Right.
And that is, that's hard for all of us.
Yes, and that's that daily prayer, why we have to do this daily prayer, because it really is virtually a supernatural thing for us to be able to try to forgive someone else.
Mm.
To complete this prayer, so to speak.
Sure.
The prayer almost becomes incomplete if we're not able to forgive, and which is why reconciliation is so important, for us to receive that grace, the grace from reconciliation, to be able to forgive others when we ask God for forgiveness.
Sure. And so with that as a kind of a preface, in a sense, then Jesus goes on to tell this parable. It's another parable about, what's it about? Hospitality.
Yes.
Just like last Sunday's gospel was about, you know, Jesus coming, and Martha was all upset because she was trying to get a meal ready, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, well, Mary's really chosen the better part. That's really what's important. We have to do both. We have to be actively engaged in life, taking care of responsibilities, and reaching out in loving service to others. But we can't do that if we don't know Jesus. So it's that prayer. So he says, you know, the parable that he teaches is, again, it's odd. You know, you're supposed to get up in the middle of the night to help somebody when they come knocking at your door and not think anything about it, because that's how God deals with us.
Right.
So our human nature...
Don't complain about it.
That's right. Our human nature might resist that and say, well, I need my sleep. I'll come back tomorrow. No. What's the need and how can we address it? And then he gives us that beautiful prayer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the doors will be open. In other words, we have to come and ask God, what do we need? Not for $1 million, not to win the lottery, not for those crazy kinds of things, but what is it that we need spiritually? What's keeping us up at night sometimes? What is it that's really troubling us? Bring that to Jesus. Ask him to help us. Be open to what it is that he asks us to do, like forgiving others if they've hurt you, and we'll be able to find the peace that we need.
Yeah. And then that grace really flows in. And we find that, you know, it's just like people say, you know, well, I'll feel better once that person is, you know, goes to the electric chair. Most every person says it never works.
Yeah.
It never works. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, some of the most inspiring things that we see is that when somebody truly has experienced a great tragedy and they will publicly admit that they're forgiving that person.
Yeah.
It's incredible. If they've done something terribly wrong. I think we all admire that. So I think there's some, as you say, there are some really powerful things here. I think there's a common denominator here when we look at all the first reading in the gospel, and it comes down to, what did Jesus tell us was the most important of all the commandments? Love God, love your neighbor, as you love yourself.
Right.
And that includes why Jesus emphasizes the importance of hospitality so much. I mean, that's truly an act of loving our neighbor.
Yes.
Whether it's the person that comes to us in the middle of the night and says, I've run out of bread, please give me something for my family, or the person halfway across the world that's dying of hunger, or, you know, the other issues that we know affect us around the world. How do we, as followers of Jesus, express our love for God by the concern that we show to our neighbors who are truly having great suffering and terrible plights?
Yes.
How do we reach out to them? At the very least, we need to be consciously and praying for them. But there are lots of other ways that we can do that as well,
and
which is the subject for another radio show.
Absolutely. And praying, we just have about a minute or so left, and praying like Abraham, this persistent prayer, right? Persistent, persistent, persistent prayer.
But that's
praying
what Jesus,
for others, praying for others.
Yeah, that's what Jesus said in the gospel. You know, if they're not going to get up and give you what they need because of the kindness of their heart, they'll get up and give you what they need, what you need, just to get rid of you, which is not a good motive, but it works. In other words, the persistence that you're talking about.
That's right. Sometimes that's what you need to do.
Yeah. St. Paul reminds us in that second reading about why baptism is so very important. We are baptized into Christ, into his death, but also into his new life of resurrection.
Amen.
And it's that which, if we just rely on our own human nature, we'll never be able to do what Jesus asks us to do.
Amen.
But as a part of the body of Christ, we can accomplish great things. And so we ask your blessing upon all of us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a blessed Sunday.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. Thank you, everyone. We love you. We'll see you next week.